Hey there, it is April 17th, 2021. This is the Robert Bruton Podcast Show, and I'm your host, Robert Bruton. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I appreciate it. And thanks to all our subscribers. I love you guys very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And today, I am excited to announce that I'm getting ready to publish a new book that's kind of coming off of the latest book that I published, Digital Nomad. We're kind of taking that to the next level. So today I'm going to talk a little bit and give you kind of a little sneak peek, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the content of that book so that we just continue on in our digital nomad life. So stay tuned. We're going to take a 60-second commercial break and we'll be right back. Hi everyone, welcome back to the show. And thank you so much for always sticking with me and staying tuned and listening to the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I want today where I'm finishing up a new book. I don't have a title for it yet, but what it is kind of a continuation of everything that I've written about, but including my latest book, which was Digital Nomad, and talking about redefining what we want to do instead of doing something we have to do, and how to achieve that. And we've talked about in some podcasts, I think I went through like some 50 different side hustles that you could do, but none of that is going to come to fruition without. Oh, here, selfless plug, without my new book. But without the things that you have to identify in order to progress forward. And you'll forgive me, you guys know that I've have suffered through COVID for in trying to recover, and so today is not a really great breathing day for me. So if I sound a little windy or whatever, please forgive me. I apologize. But anyway, the chapter two of this of my new book, or what's coming out to be my new book, is really about what I call why. Your why. Okay. That's not really kind of a new term, but it's something that I think really has to be defined down to the minute detail. Okay. And here's why I think all of that. Okay. When Nietzsche says, when you can define your why, you can overcome the how. And that so resonates with me. When you can identify your purpose, what you want to do, what passions you, okay? And this can be in any, like always, let me paraphrase this by saying, you can apply any of this to anything in your life, okay? Relationships, business, family, children, anything. Is defining the why. Why am I a good parent? Why am I gonna be a good parent? Why would my kids grow up and say, wow, this is what my parent did for me. Why would my wife at the when we get in our rocking chair years, or my husband when we get in our rocking chair years, go, damn, what a ride. Why would that happen? What would it take for that to occur? And that's defining your why. And so I'll say that with today, it's going to be a little bit about doing things because I am changing what I do. I am redefining that aspect of my life. I am going to spend the last half of my life doing what I want to do, not what I have to do. And I'm very sure that if you are listening to this podcast, or if you read my books, or you watch our videos, these are things that you desire as well. So, defining your why. So, you really have to sit down and let's say you're not really sure what your why is. I don't know. what that could be, you say. So let's get those creative juices flowing, okay? And here's some easy ways to do that. One is you really kind of need to get out somewhere that, you know, whether it's beside a river, it's a mountain view, it's a view off of a mountain, it's camping around a campfire, whatever it is where you can sit there and just kind of be at peace. No one's tugging at you, no one's demanding of your time, your phone is completely off. And it's just you with your thoughts. So these are, and you need to be somewhere where you feel somewhat inspired. You know, that for me, a lot of times, if I'm in an urban area, that's sitting next to a fountain. I don't know what it is, but I love fountains. I love the water. I love the fountain. If you can sneak away and go watch the ocean for a minute, sit on the sand, watch the sun come up, go out and watch the moonlit beach. Something that where you can just be at peace with yourself for a little while. Because here's the thing, and if you've read my book, Quiet Your Mind, you'll know what I'm talking about, is when you can literally do what I just said, quiet your mind, you will be amazed at what comes to you when you're sitting there and you're just going, wow, this is peaceful, you know? And then you ask yourself, but you take three things out of the equation before you ask. And these are vitally important. These are huge bullet points. One is, money is not the problem. Do not try to sit there, because here's what you'll do. Well, I would love to make a documentary movie. I just don't have any money to do it. So that's out. Okay, whoa, stop. Okay? Take money out of the equation. Time. I don't have time. I'm a single parent. I have a family. I have bills. I have this. I have that. We all got that. Take that. Time is not your problem. Money is not your problem. The third thing that you take out of the equation is knowledge. Knowledge is, if you don't say, well, I really don't know how to do that though, take it out of the equation. If you could do anything in the world you want to do, what would you do if money, time, and knowledge were not your problem? Those are solved. What would you do? Because you won't allow yourself to really stretch out and reach if you don't take those three things out of the equation for the moment. Because here's the thing, and now it's going to make sense to you. Here's the reason that you can take money, time, and knowledge out of the equation for now. Because guess what? You can gain all of those. You have access to all of those. You may not know how right now, and that's okay. I didn't know how I was going to publish my first book. I've published 10. I didn't know how I was going to do my first podcast. I've done almost 300. I didn't know how I was going to write an article. I've written 300 just on one blog. Talk about thousands on others. I didn't know how I was going to do any of those things. Yet one day I woke up and went, holy crap. I did it. 2019, I wanted to publish my first book. I published 7. And my goal for that year was to do 1. Just get 1 on Amazon. 7 books later, now 10, almost about to be 11 and 12, because I have another one waiting in the wings that we were waiting for everything to start opening up, because it will land in bookstores. But it's being postponed because of COVID-19. Nobody can't have book signings and things like that until places where major bookstores are can open up. So I continue to do what I do. I don't let it, stop me from continuing. So money, time, and knowledge are not the problem, because you can gain those. You don't know where money will come from until it comes. And that sounds easy and like a pipe dream, but it's not. Okay? You never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to come up. Knowledge? Okay. Hit a library, wear out your computer researching. You know, people always say, I don't have an education. I can't get an education. I can't afford an education. Okay. You know what? There is one place where, seriously, a university's knowledge is all encompassed in one building. One building. You can gain access from anything from literary, mathematics, history, you name it, current events, socialism, capitalism, communism, political rhetoric, U.S. history, world history, all contained in one single building. It's a secret, but it's your local library. You can go to the library and you can find a wealth of knowledge. A wealth of knowledge. If you're cool about it and you go to a university and you don't, just take yourself a notepad, you can usually use, I used to go to the law library, Southern Methodist University. As long as you're not, bothering anybody or messing with anybody, you can go through that library, free will. Lots of attorneys do it. So how can you tell me that you can't get an education when really an education is this? You have to learn something. You have to do assignments. Well, instead of a teacher telling you, you tell you. Go to a librarian. Here's the cool thing about librarians. Most are a wealth of knowledge. Hey, can you tell me what would be like maybe the best book or some books that I could do on advanced mathematical theorem, where I could find U.S. history, where I could find books on economics, macroeconomics, microeconomics, where I can read books about the stock market, how to do sales, where I can read books about biographies on famous business people and how they did it, what they did. So knowledge is not your problem. You can gain that quite easily. I invested in what is called MasterClass. I'm not endorsing them or saying anything other than it's a resource that I use. It's not overly expensive for what you get, considering that there are classes in there by Annie Leibovitz, Ron Howard, Martin Scorsese, Helen Mirren, Jimmy Chin, good Lord, there's, some of the most famous people in their craft. And they go through in their masterclass, and you get to actually watch Ron Howard direct a movie or put a movie together and tell a story. Could you go to Hollywood and knock on Imagine Entertainment's door and say, "Hi, is Ron Howard here? Wonder if I could just pal around with him on the set today." Probably not going to happen. But here's the thing. You get resourceful, and now you find that he gives a class. It's not free, but it's also not as expensive as you might think. And certainly not as expensive as college tuition, but now you're learning from people who are actually in the real world making hundreds of millions of dollars doing what they love. I think we can all agree, based on Ron Howard's portfolio of movies, that the guy's pretty gifted and works with incredibly gifted people. But ultimately, it is him telling his story his way and putting that into a film that just keeps you engrossed. So you can gain knowledge. And it just takes doing it. Here's what's going to set you apart from just about everybody else. Is if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to spend the time, read books, instead of watching movies, read books on how to make a movie if that's something you're passionate about. Learn how to write a script. You know, begin to teach yourself. Because if you organize your life the way that I suggest, the way that I do, there is plenty of time for you to have you, for you to be with you, for you to have a life, for you to have balance. And don't tell me you're an exception to that rule. I will freely admit that there are jobs where that could be a potential problem. You are a first responder on call. Okay. Probably gonna, you know, not be able to really organize your time very well because your time is going to be spent on calls that you didn't know were coming but showed up. Doctors. Okay, you get a pass. You know, there are, like I said, there are certain jobs from which your time is called upon. But here's the skinny. If you are a medical doctor, the chances are you love what you do. You know, you enjoy the work, the craft, the skill. So you may not need this. But for those of you that are wanting to become something new, then you may need this. And you may need to learn. And you may need to take time. You know, doctors and lawyers all have continuing education. Their education doesn't stop when law school ends. Quite the contrary. Laws change all the time. Procedures change all the time. So you have to adapt and learn the new things. You have to learn how to evolve. Well, it's the same thing with your life. You have to learn how to evolve. You know, people who tell me, and I hear this all the time, "Oh, I'm too old. I'm just set in my ways." Why? Right. The chapter of this book, why? So my first question to you is, why? Why are you set in your ways? And don't ever tell me, "Oh, I'm just old school." Oh my God, if you want me to get crazy, tell me, "I don't know how to do it. We got to do it old school. I just can't do that." No, you're not stupid. I give you credit for being intelligent. What you're telling me is that you're too lazy to learn. And I will straight up tell you that. I will smile and I will hug and I will tell you I love you, but I'm going to tell you stop being a lazy ass. I'm too old. I can't do it. No, you know you're not. Why you think you're too old? It's because you're being lazy. And we all don't want to get out of our little comfort zones. Okay? If you don't want to get out of your comfort zone, then let me suggest a video for you. Go to YouTube, look up Steve Harvey and the word jump, and watch that video. It's been seen, can't tell you how many millions of times. Chances are you might have heard about it. If you haven't, when you stop this podcast, go to YouTube, Steve Harvey Jump, and watch it. I am grateful to my ex-wife for getting me to watch it because it literally has that video changed my life because I jumped. And I'm not going to go into a big long thing about what it is, but just know I jumped. And when you watch the video, you'll get it. So knowledge is not the problem. Money, you can borrow money. Well, I got shitty credit. Okay, well, so what? That doesn't preclude you from getting somebody to help you. You know, if you were passionate about something, here's the thing. Maybe something you do solves someone's problem. So, what do? You go to them and say, I can solve your problem. Really? How? Let me tell you. Give them just enough to wet their beak and convince them that there is nobody else on the planet that can do it but you. You can solve their problem. So that's one way. There's about a bajillion others. Time. You learn the difference between activity and productivity. And if you listen to my podcast or read my books, I have driven this home. A couple of things in life that if you learn the difference between these two phrases, activity versus productivity and resources versus resourcefulness, and we're going to get into that one in just a second. But time, if you learn the difference between activity and productivity, you will find the time that you say you don't have. Social media, unless you're making a living on social media. Social media is the largest waste of your time that you could ever do during a day. Texting, unless, now here's the thing. If you're in a committed, loving relationship and your committed, loving person sends you a text and says, Hi, I love you, respond back, Hi, I love you more, or Hi, I love you too, or whatever you're going to say. I get that part. Don't ignore relationships ever. Don't ever tell your significant other or children you are too busy right now. It is certainly okay to say, Hey, honey, how are you? I love you, babe. What's going on? I'm uber busy, but I want it, whatever you need, sweetheart, I want to take care of right now. There's nothing wrong with telling someone, or hey, kiddos, daddy loves you, mommy loves you. I am uber busy, but I want to make sure that whatever you need from me right now, that I give it to you, okay? Because I love you that much. I love you with all my heart. So tell me what you need. And it might be just, hey, daddy, I wanted to say hi. Hey, mommy, I wanted to say hi. Hi, and I love you too, sweetheart. How was your day? You can give that to someone that you love and care about. Don't give a shit how busy you are. Never, ever, ever neglect that phone call. And they'll say, hey, honey, I'm so busy, babe. I got to call you right back. Now, if you're in the middle of giving someone CPR, I get that. But I'm just talking if they call you out of the blue, they're home, kids got home from school and maybe had a really huge thing, a gigantic event that they just wanted to take 5 minutes of your time to tell you. You can excuse yourself and say, hey, guys, this is an uber important call. Give me just 5 minutes. I don't mean to be rude. If I was in that meeting with you, cool, take your time. So time, if you learn the difference between activity and productivity. Productivity is where you're actually working and produce a result. You say, okay, from 9 to 10 this morning, I am going to do nothing but read and answer my inbox, my business inbox. I'm going to put my phone on do not disturb, and I'm going to take that time. Or I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to shut my door, and I'm going to, you know. And if you do have a family, you might even just text them. Hey guys, I love you. I'm just getting ready to be out of pocket from 9 to 10. I'm going to be answering some important emails and doing some stuff. Does anybody need anything? I'll check back in an hour. No, Daddy, we love you. No, Mommy, we love you. No, sweetheart, I'm good. Great. And that took, what, 2.5 seconds to write a I love you text? Or, you know, to write a very short, hey, this is what I'm doing text. Or you go to work today and you say, hey, these are my busy times today. If you uberly need me, I will take care of you. If you don't, I'm just going to be out of pocket for these times. So I just want to give everybody a heads up. If you can't reach me, this is why. So we do our productivity during the day. We become incredibly productive during the day. Filling an hour with total production, I mean total focus, total production, total something, sometimes is hard to do. And if you don't believe me, here is a scenario from which I want you to think about. Okay, you are the head producer of, let's think, who's a, you are the head producer of the Oprah Winfrey Show. And for 1 hour, or basically 45 minutes, 35 or 38 minutes, whatever it is, that an hour long show, because you have commercials, you have to make such a compelling show and have such cool guests and have such cool content that when the commercial break comes on, I'm not changing channels. Not only that, but I become, or help Oprah Winfrey become, the incredible success that she is. The fun-loving woman that you've come to love. Yes, a lot of that has to do with her, but it also has to do with her producers. The people who put the content in the show that give her this ammunition, basically, to fire off into TV land and entertain you to the absolute max. So that's how important that hour is of production. Am I going to change the channel on you, or am I going to stick with you? So if you're having to put up that kind of work, that kind of content, that kind of production, filling an hour is a lot harder than you think it is. So fill your hour with production. Time is not the issue. You can find time. No matter how busy you tell me you are, I guarantee you it is a lack of time management skills. And I'm going to challenge you with this test of that. It's a test, it's for you, but it has to be an honest one. And when you don't have to show your results to anyone but yourself, then you can be brutally honest with yourself. You give me 2 days, two full days of being utterly honest, and you journal on the hour what you did the previous hour. Meaning at 9 o'clock, you journal what you did from 8 to 9. Well, I screwed around. I got coffee. I went and peed. I talked to Bill down the hall. I talked to Susie at the front desk. I really haven't done shit. Okay. Honesty. 9 to 10. 10 comes up. Checked emails. Talked to my wife. Texted some friends. Girls were asking me if we were going to happy hour tonight. And I got a few emails answered. Do you see my point? Our days are filled with activity, not productivity. So yes, it can appear that you're incredibly busy. But what are you incredibly busy doing? Is it an activity or productivity? Think about that for a little while. Do the test that I'm telling you and be honest with yourself. And then learn how to organize your life to win. I wrote an entire book on this. It's not that hard. Because you're going to allow. I get so many people that say, oh, that's too regimented. I'm not living my life that way, dude. Okay, whoa. So I'm giving you times during the day and in the evening to do things that are for you. To be a part of your relationship, to be a part of your family, to go to the gym, to have moments for yourself. And that's a problem. Because I'm asking you to do it in a more organized, oh, I fly off the seat of my pants. Stop flying off the seat of your pants or you're never going to get shit done. I'm not saying you can't be spontaneous. I kept saying if you came home and all of a sudden something really cool came up that you can't do it because you had plans on other stuff. Learn to balance that. Don't make it an every night thing. There are some nights where you have to weigh the success of what you're talking about. Well, if I go drinking with my buddies at the bar and watch the game, you know, I'm going to miss this class. So you could sit there and tell yourself, well, if I go to the class and I become the successful person that I think I'm going to become, then my buddies are maybe sitting in my box at the game and we're having an even better time. So what's the, you weigh that. And then you decide. Don't give in to the dark side. Every now and again, it's okay to say, you know what? I think I've earned. I've been doing this for a couple weeks and, you know, the girlfriends call and they want to go out and have a little girl's night and you've done pretty well and everything. Okay, reward yourself. Be a pal. Be a good friend. Enjoy it. That's fine. That's all part of living our new life. So, hello. Yeah, I'm good. So time, money, and knowledge are not your problem. What is your current situation is, what is my why? What is it that if you could do anything in the world with your life, travel the world, write a novel, make a documentary, become a famous photographer like Ansel Adams, Annie Leibovitz, you know, or Jimmy Chin, Peter McKinnon, become the next J.K. Rowling, James Patterson? Who says you can't? Your head, probably. Well, you need to tell your head to shut up. How many people in this world have started a business or done something in their life where they started from absolute scratch? J.K. Rowling in her early years was a welfare mom. We all run up on hard times. We all need a hand. We all need a helping hand. Thank God that those things were available. Government assistance was available. And for those of you that are on government assistance, if you happen to be listening to this podcast, you know, reimagine your life. I am grateful that you're getting the assistance that you need. But it's not, if for you it's not enough, then begin to learn how to define your life. Define your why. Define the reason that would, at the end of the day, you'd go, oh my God, I had so much fun today. And that happens to me when I write. That happens to me when I do the podcast. That happens to me when I'm videoing or taking photographs. And then when I achieve some accolade for it. It's like my little t-shirt shop. I have a little t-shirt shop on TeePublic. And I just do it. I make funny sayings and or I take funny things. You know, I saw something. I saw a wine napkin that said, you know, drinks well with others. And I made it into a little t-shirt and I sold three or four. You know, it was cute. You know? I have them do little hashtags, you know, off my meds, you know, chemically challenged. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of just funny stuff that make people smile and make people happy. And every time I see that little $2 commission, I smile huge. Because at that point, it's really not about the money. It's the fact that people thought it was funny as I did and they bought it. Define your why. Not everything in your why has to be about, I want to make $1 million. I want to live in a giant mansion. Because here's the thing. So let's say that's part of your aspiration. Okay? I want to be a millionaire. So let me ask you something. And here are some hard questions you need to ask yourself, but I'm going to give you a solution at the end. I want to be a millionaire. Okay. Well, let's take a look at your credit. Can you manage your money? Do you take care of your credit? What is your credit score? If you're telling me your credit score is above a 700, I'm going to say, okay, here we go. Good start. If your credit score is below a 700, I'm going to say, okay, here's one of the things if you want to become a millionaire that you need to learn how to do. You need to learn how to control your money. You need to learn how to budget. So now we have something to go learn. Don't look at it as a negative thing. I got a 500 credit score. Okay, well, your credit sucks, but we can fix it. We have to learn how to fix a problem. So if you came to me and said, I want to manage your business. And my business was financial. And because my business is financial, and there is a chance that you could be taken advantage of by a customer, by someone who's trying to swindle me, and my family's livelihood depends on your handling of my money, guess what I'm going to go look at? I'm going to go look at your credit. Because if you can't handle your money, why the hell would I give you mine? So don't take that in a negative connotation, because it is a harsh statement. But if you're going to be someone who manages money or wants to be a millionaire, then you need to learn to manage your money. Because if you don't know how to manage your money, you're never going to become a millionaire. I can happily say that that's something I worked really hard on, and something I continue to work on is my financial health. So I learn how to responsibly have my credit cards, how to pay my car note, how to pay my RV note, how to pay my personal loans, how to pay my taxes on time, okay? You know? How to save for my future, which I do via my 401k. And how to balance those things so that I'm taking out enough and not giving it back in taxes. You know, I'm learning those things, and I'm learning how to do those things. I had a friend. I'll tell you another story. And this is how much it means to, if you're going to do something, this is how much it means in certain arenas for you to be on your game. This is a guy who was on his game. This is a guy who was a Rhodes Scholar, someone who had studied business and all kinds of things throughout the world. Okay? He was a smart man. Now, goes to a Fortune 500 company. And he's excited because he loves the company. He wants to work there. Gets to the third interview where this was really kind of a formality to his being hired to what could have potentially been one of the greatest jobs he would have ever held. Okay. And he was going to be in control of literally tens of thousands of employees for this company. So the guy comes in, this entourage of senior VPs and things come in, and this guy who is way up the totem pole in the C-suite, and he comes in, they sit down, and everybody starts with their pleasantries and is talking. He goes, I think I can end this really quick right now. And he looked at my friend and he said, and I quote, if you can't control your weight, how could I ever expect you to control thousands of my employees effectively when you can't even control your own weight? We're done. Got up and walked out. Because my friend was not obese, but certainly overweight. And from his culture, they love to eat and they love to drink wine, eat. And so therefore but think about that for a minute. Is there a part of your life that's out of control that someone could say something? And that is the harshest shit I think I've ever heard anybody say, apart from just being malicious. Or if someone came in and said, look, dude, I'd love to hire you. You seem like an intelligent guy, but you can't control your own finances. Why in the hell would I let you loose with mine? Because you can't come back and say, well, I know I can't take care of my money, but I take care of your money, I swear. It's like convincing a creditor. I know that the last car I had repoed, but I swear I'm gonna pay this one. I want my credit back. Intentions, good intentions will get you shit. That's why I'm saying you have to be available and ready to change, drastically change old paradigms. Someone could certainly say to me, dude, if you can't control your weight, how do I expect you to control? If you can't control your blood sugar or take care of your health, why would I let you take care of my health? And those are all factual realities of who I am. Therefore, guess what I work on and need to do? I work on my sugar. I stay active. I read about writing. It's silly as that sounds. I learn from other writers. I'm in different writing communities. I share and do things. I use cheat sheets basically, for grammar and things like that. Because no, I'm not a formally trained literary person. But I love to tell a story. I love to write. I love it. But I also know that there are people who can help me, who can dissect it. Sometimes an editor that I use, she'll call me and she'll go, "Oh my God, did you?" And we have this relationship. "Oh my God, I have third graders that write better than you. Jesus." She go, "Oh my God." And you get this revised draft back and you're like, "Oh my God." But every time I hone my skill, I work on it. Those calls are fewer and fewer. They still come every now and again. None of us can write To Kill a Mockingbird in every book. None of us can write In Cold Blood in every book. None of us can write Harry Potter in every book. Some of your books, people are going to, "Oh God, that sucked, dude. Jesus, what were you thinking?" And some people are going to call you and say, crying and say, "God, you changed my life. That one thing you said kept me from harm, kept me, save my relationship, save this, save that." So, recapping in a minute, because I need to take a short little break here and breathe. And we're going to come back up and finish the show, so stand by. All right. Thanks for staying tuned, and thanks for staying with me for this last short segment. Okay. Of course, I always say we're going to finish up the show, and then 20 minutes later, we're still not done. So remember, define your why. Don't do it in a day. Don't expect to do it in a day. Once you think you've defined it, sit on it for 48 hours. Come back to it. If it still jazzes you the same way, then rock and roll. You got a winner. I thought I had found, I'm trying to rename or name, I've got to do a media company. But it's going to be a corporate, like our corporate name. And I thought I had, so I sat on it for a couple of days. The domain was available. It's funny. I like the name. It's kind of cute. And then right when I was getting ready to buy it, something told me, wait. It's only $12 to buy the domain. I mean, it's not like it's some gigantic thing, but something told me to wait. So I'm going to wait and I'm going to figure it out. Why? But something was really pushing me. No, I don't know. Let's make sure. Let's make sure. Because I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. It's a funny name. It's neat. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So remember, when you're trying to define a why, don't just jump yet. There's a point in time when you jump, and when you watch the Steve Harvey deal on Jump, you'll know what I'm talking about. Remember, activity versus productivity, know the difference. Resources versus resourcefulness. Resources, sometimes having all the resources that you need is a hindrance to having to really be resourceful to start something because now you're really vested. You're really, when you have nothing, when you've got nothing to lose and you've got all the resources, then you're lazy, in my mind. That may not be you, but in my mind, if everything was given to you, I think you become lazy. When you have to become resourceful, then your eye's on the ball. So don't think about, I had a guy that I worked for years and years ago, and I was in some financial problems. And he used to tell me, I'd go to him, I'd say, hey, I really, need a Can I get, can I get an advance on my pay? And was in a shit way. And he said, look, he said, I'm not going to solve your problem today, but I'm going to give you a Band-Aid for today. And he would give me enough money that it wasn't an insult, but he wasn't paying my deal because he didn't have to do shit. He could have said, no, I do that. I'm not your banker. Go to your bank, go to your credit union. But it taught me a good lesson. I don't want you to solve my problems, but if you can help, great. I don't want you to solve my, and it's not a business problem, but I want you to give me everything I need to have my business. Look at businesses who get, just gobs of money of funding that fail. They had all the money in the world and they fail. Because they do dumb shit with it. They get away from their core mission. They start wanting to be th they start wanting to be something to everybody. And they get away from their core mission. Never get away from your core mission. That's why you have to define your why. That's your core mission. That's what makes you you. Never get away from that. Because the moment you start doing that, or the moment you start trying to be all things to all people, you'll fail. I'm not saying you can't be two or three things, but I'm saying have a core mission. Have a core why. My core mission is writing. But as an offshoot of that, I love to do photography and I put my photography in my writing, or I put my photography in other things. Filmmaking, I love to tell a story. So I work with others to do that. And I'm working on my own. So, but my core mission is my writing. So I never get away from that. I'm never going to be something else than what I truly want to be. But if I have things that are part of that harmoniously work with it or make it better in some way, because I'm still storytelling, I'm still telling a picture, I'm still telling a story through my pictures, I'm still telling a story through my film. But storytelling is something I enjoy very much. The podcast is the same way. We have a core mission in our podcast, and that is really mostly about life change. And so we're talking about different things to develop that change in your life. But life change is really the thing. That's why I call my YouTube channel's a life research project. It's about life, it's about the research thereof, And we are a constant project. We are a constant work in progress. Your life is always a project. There's always some project within your life that you're working on. So hence, I came up with the Life Research Project. So I've developed a why, and now I'm working towards that end. You can too. So think about those things. I look forward to introducing my new book to you. For those of you that want to learn more or know more about us or stay connected and involved, go to our website. You can actually subscribe by email every time I put, and it's not something that I'm sending you things that I'm selling you shit. It is telling you anytime that I post up a new article, RobertBruton.com, they just posted a new article on such and such. And that's all it does. It doesn't try to sell you anything. Okay. So it's not anything about that. It's not, you're not getting spammed. So, or getting unwanted or unsolicited emails, not anything like that. So, because I get a lot of people say, well, I just don't want to get a bunch of bullshit. Well, the only bullshit you're getting is that I published a new article. That's all it does. It's a WordPress blog. It's one that's a higher level of blog, I guess, if you will. It's one that we have to pay for. So it's not a free one. So you don't get stuff from WordPress and you don't get bullshit from me. It's just all what we write about. But there you can find direct links to my Amazon author page, to our YouTube page, to our Instagram, by the way, which we are now on social media. So we're on TikTok, just new to TikTok. So if you're on TikTok, hey, come give me a follow, man. Help me build my deals. I posted some funny videos. I think they're just of glitzy and stuff with pictures. I haven't really I've been kind of working out what my mission's going to be on TikTok, and I want to do something funny. I want to make it satirical, so I'm just kind of, I haven't really got to that point yet. So I bet I did put up a few things. I've made a few friends on TikTok. I've shared some wonderful stories with people, and it's been fun. And so I'm new to TikTok. Instagram is at RobertBruton100. TikTok is at RobertBruton100. And Facebook, we're back. Hello, Facebook. We are back on Facebook from about a 3-year hiatus. And that too is RobertBruton100. All of my social media is RobertBruton100. And so if you'd use those things, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok. And TikTok's fun. Oh my God, how addicting. Whew, Jiminy Cricket, man. I laugh with the young people that I work around. I'm like, oh my God, this is crack. You know, you start watching a video and, you know, it goes from one extreme to the other. Oh my God. So, but it's, I see so many, and I like, of course, you all know that I love dogs. So I follow all the canines and the funny dogs and the police dogs and all that stuff. And, that's really cute to me. Cheech and Chong came up on my TikTok today. So I follow them. Tommy Chong is uber funny. In him, I've always enjoyed his humor, and grew up when they were younger men, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and they were hysterical, and you know, we used to mimic them in so many ways and in school, so that was always cool and fun. And so anyway, RobertBruton.com is where you can find that. And like I said, there's direct links from my website to everything. Okay. What else can I tell you? Really, I guess that's kind of about it. I'm going to kind of be the show today. And thanks again for tuning in. Again, if you ever want to be on the show, or if you have a story idea, or if you want to be a guest host or a guest, put up a guest piece on my blog, as long as it is semi clean, semi funny, and semi happy, and all those good things. I don't post political stuff. I don't post anything that's inappropriate. It's stuff I always say, if your grandmother or your mother can't read it, then I'm not posting it. But if you're talking about life change, or you have some things, or you want to tell your story, good or bad, I will happily let you tell your story, and we can talk about it. But anyway, you can reach out to us through the website, and I suppose that's about it today. So I thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for all of our followers. Thank you to our financial subscribers. If you do have an ability to financially support us, you can make one time only, hey dude, this rocks. You can go to our Buy Me a Coffee page, or you can go directly through our podcast, or you can subscribe to us on Patreon. So there's a lot of ways to support the show. It is what I do for a living, so it is something that I do need the help. And so if you find it's just like a magazine subscription, basically, is the way I look at it. If you like what you hear and you like what you read, subscribe to the magazine. And I'm not talking about something you have to do, some gigantic thing. I mean, it starts out at like $3 a month. So, I'm not asking you for thousands of dollars. Just and you could send us a thing where it's just buy me a coffee, and you can send a one-time $3 gift. And for those of you that do that, God bless you and thank you. I appreciate that very, very much. So, have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day, morning, or evening, depending on the time that you are listening to this. And God bless you. And again, thank you to all of our financial subscribers, and all of our just subscribe. You don't even have to pay anything if you're not in a position to do that, or just simply that's not your gig. Then if you like it and enjoy the show, then just subscribe. I appreciate it. So, damn, how many times am I going to say goodbye now? So anyway, thanks again, you guys, and I love you. And this is the Robert Bruton Podcast Show. I'm your host, Robert Bruton. Bye for now. Appreciate it.